Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Chat with Kat, a podcast dedicated to offering a growth mindset platform for us entrepreneurs, where we discuss everything from business, mindset, to life in general. I'm your host, Catherine Polsonelli, a business organizing powerhouse, personal development strategist, and owner of Agent Services Plus, a company focused on helping entrepreneurs just like you build, grow, and be courageous in their business. I'm so excited to have you with us today. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage and get ready to have some amazing conversations and fantastic takeaways. Let's jump right in. Hello, hello, everyone. And thank you so much for joining me today on today's episode. I'm so excited to have with me Bridget. Bridget, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. I'm so excited for us to be able to continue our awesome conversation. So please do us a favor. Tell us who you are, what it is that you do, and how you got into it.
Okay. My name is Bridget Sobis. It's so great to be here with you, Kat. And I own the Power and Joy Coaching Academy, and I certify people to become coaches, specifically in the modality of NLP, timeline therapy, hypnosis, and then also the ICF. I've been an ICF, International Coaching Federation coach, for over a decade now. And then, so I do have a certification programs. And then I love working with women entrepreneurs that have been stuck, burnt out, overwhelmed, people pleasing, possibly resenting their own businesses, to reinvent their lives with power, joy, and profits. And then how did I get into this? how much time do we have? How I got into this is I'm originally from the salon and spa industry. And I was a master certified hair colorist. I worked for lots of different types of businesses, everywhere from corporate to mom and pop to crazy dysfunctional salons. And the last salon I found myself working at, I was a six-figure earner behind the chair, but wow, the salon wasn't being run very well. And I thought, if this person can own a business, there's no reason why I can't. I'm sure many of you have thought that yourself.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to buy this business, this dysfunctional business. And then I quickly realized I became a dysfunctional hot mess. I had zero idea what I was doing. If you knew me, oh gosh, now it's back in 2005, we're going 18 years now. If you knew me back then and I was trying to even run a salon meeting, I would be crying. I would be like overwhelmed.
Oh, no.
Negative emotions. And I actually lost my six figure paycheck, and I was putting it back into the business to keep the doors open.
Wow.
And became this dysfunctional hot mess. And luckily for me, someone introduced me to a coaching and consulting company, and I hired them pretty much right away. And then I started growing my business. I started getting my six figure paycheck back. I could lead team meetings without crying, put systems and structures in place, everything from a budget, which I didn't even know what that was at the time, to our cash flow projection, to job descriptions and handbooks and policies and procedures. And by doing that work, it changed my life, not only professionally, but also personally. And I was inspired. I'm like, I want to do this for other people. So that was my catalyst to becoming a trainer, a speaker, a coach and consultant. And then, it was just like an evolution. I had a roller coaster of a ride owning a hair salon. I almost owned it for almost 15 years.
Oh, and wow. Okay.
Amazing things, awful things happen. Lots of stories to tell around that. But then that ultimately that led me to selling the salon, thinking about what I wanted to do next with my life. And then I was an independent contractor for another consulting company, but I was like, after I got certified in NLP work, I was like, this is my calling. This is what I want to do. I want to certify people to become coaches. So I did a deep dive in getting my trainer certification. And then I launched the Power and Joy Coaching Academy.
Which is so awesome. And I love that too. You know, what's interesting is I find that most of the people that I chat with
that have got into the coaching space or any type of entrepreneurial realm has started in something that you wouldn't necessarily think, right? Or like I was in the medical industry before, and it's interesting to see like how people have taken the things that they've been through and use it as this stepping stone to get them to the place where they want to be. And it's interesting how when we open ourselves up to those opportunities, like the floodgates open, right? And you get introduced to like these crazy random things that you're like, I'm not sure, but and it ends up being like absolutely amazing, like NLP, which I'm super excited to chat about as well, because this is something I've kind of wanted to like dip my toes in as well. And I know that people like throw that term around a lot, but I don't think people actually understand what NLP is. So can you, for the audience, can you give us a little bit of a background to kind of help people understand what NLP is and kind of what it does?
Yes, I would love to, because just like you, I had a mentor of mine who actually introduced me to the International Coaching Federation over a decade ago to take a program. She would always say things like in trainings I would watch her at or hear her talk, and I am also a master of NLP. And I had no idea what she was talking about. And but I was like, I really respected her, and she's someone that I look up to her and, you know, would mentor under.
Mm-hmm.
And there would always be sometimes these ways that she would like invite me to shift the way I spoke or my own language. Like mm-hmm. give me an example. You know, I've gone through, we can, you know, if this serves your audience, we can talk about this even more, but I've had breast cancer twice. And the first time I was going through it, we were on this team call, and I had been saying like, oh, you know, I had to go to the hospital and they're poke and prod me and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, what if you imagined like you're going there and you're taking care of your health, and it was all these positive things. So she'd like, that's just one example of how she would just work with me to like shift my own thoughts and my own mm-hmm. behaviors. And then after I sold my salon, I was like, what's next for me? So I was like, that's it. I'm going to find out what this NLP is all about, and I'm going to get certified myself. So I started looking for companies, found a company, and they were like, you're also going to get certified in timeline therapy and hypnosis. And I was like, well, hypnosis sounds weird. Therapy, I have no idea. Like if you were to ask me 5 years ago if I'd be even practicing or training hypnosis, I would have been like, I don't know, not sure. But anyway, so I sign up, I'm into this program, and I couldn't believe the way my mind was shifting and changing with mm-hmm. the tools and the techniques that we're learning. So NLP, like neuro-linguistic programming, it is a bunch of tools and techniques and mm-hmm. Practices. Ultimately, it works with your unconscious mind. And our unconscious mind runs about 95% of our behaviors and thoughts and actions, and we might not even be aware of it. Mm-hmm. So it works with the unconscious mind to really start shifting the way you communicate with other people, the thoughts in your own mind. Like I would do all of this self-development work and coaching and therapy, and I would have like positive affirmations. And for some reason, my mind would always be on a hamster wheel of negative thoughts and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get off of it until I actually started practicing and got certified in NLP. And I was like, am I not upset at this anymore? Am I not mad at that? Like, I would pinch myself. So it really does work with the unconscious mind. So it can support shifting behaviors within, you know, 15 minutes or less. So like at the mm-hmm. conscious level, when we're working on shifting behaviors, that could take, you know, 21 days or more. Well, when we're working with our unconscious mind, it can like happen pretty rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, letting go of negative emotions, reframing the way you think, your communication skills with others. It's the most amazing work I've ever gotten my hands on.
I love that. You know, what's funny too is, so I've actually chatted with a couple of people that are certified in NLP, and one of them is a trainer of NLP now as well. And it's always funny when I chat with people that have gone through certifications like that, because a lot of times they start out with like, oh, I just wanted to learn it. Or, oh, I thought it would be like really great for me to be able to like eventually teach to other people. And what ends up happening when they really like deep dive into it is the massive amount of change that they have in themselves and realizing how amazing the tool is when it comes to helping other people. And I love the fact that NLP really focuses on the subconscious, because, you know, that's something that I talk about a lot with my clients and on the podcast, is limiting beliefs and where those beliefs have come from, because we have so many things that are ingrained that aren't actual truth. It's just somebody else's truth that we adopted.
Yes.
And so NLP, in my opinion, is a fantastic tool to help tweak that, but it's not like a complete overhaul like people think that is, right? I think people kind of get all these modalities like really confused, and they're like, oh my gosh, there's just all of these things. Like, you have to find what works for you, right?
Sure.
Like hypnosis, which I would love for you to touch on as well, because I know for me that when I first heard hypnosis, I was like, oh no, we're not controlling my mind. No, I'm good. You can leave me alone. But what I have learned over the past couple of years, and the people that I've spoke with, you know, is the way that hypnosis actually works, not what we see on TV, not what we've seen at the circus and stuff like that, is it really can be a healing modality where you are aware, but it's just that subconscious piece of you that is really being attracted and touched on when it comes to working through things.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually was just in a, because I love taking certifications, because every time I take a certification, I become a better teacher and then a student and all the things. And so I was in a, I did a 3-day hypnosis training over the weekend, and demystifying what hypnosis really is, because a lot of people out there think it's mind control. No, you're not controlling my mind. And it is far from the truth. Brainwashing or mind control, you actually won't do anything that is against your own value system. So if I were to say, you know, Kat, you know, you're under hypnosis, and I was like, and now you're going to go rob a bank, give me $1 million. You would not rob a bank, because it wouldn't be in your value system, unless you were secretly a bank robber. So the subconscious, it really works with, because the unconscious mind likes to work in pictures and imagery. Mm-hmm. So what I love about it too is like visualizing already acting as if things are so. So if you want to have, I don't know, financial abundance, you know, I can work with my clients so that we're talking about it, so that it's like you've already created, you've already sowed, because the conscious mind is the goal setter, mm-hmm. and the unconscious mind then becomes the goal getter. So what's really happening is that our conscious mind and our unconscious mind get more into rapport with each other. So then we can start doing more behaviors that are going to be aligned with creating financial abundance.
Mm-hmm.
One example.
Makes sense. Now, let me ask you this, because, you know, the example that you were using as far as like helping it shift and using the visualization pieces, for those that are working on or wanting to work on more at that subconscious level, the things that like they know there's something there, but they're not really sure what it is or what's holding them back, would you suggest that hypnosis is something that they try out first, or is NLP more of the direction that people should go, or does it, you know, person to person when it comes to that?
Really great question. I will actually probably give you the answer. It's person by person case. So personally, how I work, This is what I work best with people. I do breakthrough work, which I can do an 8-hour session in the context of an area of life, let's say money or relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And I also do like 3-day personal retreats with women. One. So we're really doing a deep dive into the unconscious mind. So I ask like a detailed personal history questions. I probably will say for me, when I'm working with people, my go-to to start out is doing timeline therapy.
Okay.
Which is timeline therapy is like, I consider it a hybrid, like it's advanced NLP work with some light trance work.
Okay.
So what that is doing is it's letting go of negative emotions that are no longer serving us. So I'll give you an example. I can just talk about myself right now. Like before I did this work, like I would really harbor negative emotions, like anger, sadness, fear, guilt. And it would be like fuel to the fire. So anytime I would get angry about something, you'd see me getting angry like really fast. Or if I talked about something that I was angry about, so let's just say my divorce, I went through a really, you know, tough divorce in 2010, about 2 years. That's a whole other story. But if I started telling you about it, you would see me angry all over again. Like I would be reliving it.
Yeah, so it makes sense.
What the timeline therapy does is that it supports my clients into letting go of the root cause, like the first event, which when disconnected is going to cause the problem to disappear. So let's just say most people, they experience things from the ages of like 0 to 7, most likely. Like that's when we start getting a lot of that programming where it's like the good, bad, and the ugly. Like we're just these little uncritical sponges, right? And you might not even consciously remember what the root cause is, like that first time you ever experienced anger, but I'm working with your unconscious mind so that you're going back. Like I like to, and this is actually how I teach my clients.
I love it. I'm a visual learner.
I use my arm as an example. Like this is your timeline. So like here, like let's just say my bracelet is now. All right. So I'm having like someone go up in their unconscious mind above their timeline over to the past. So let's just say this crease right here is like the first event, which when disconnected is going to cause the problem to disappear. So it's the root cause of the problem. I have my clients like stay disassociated. So it's unlike traditional therapy where I'm going to be like, and then talk about it and tell me how you feel. Actually, I want my clients to be disassociated. So it's like, I like to describe it as like Scrooge. Do you guys know the story of Scrooge or A Christmas Carol? He goes back in time and he's watching his past self.
Yeah, he's like the third party.
Yeah, like he's getting all these learnings and then he's bringing it back to his future so he can completely change his life. Yeah. That is like the best example I can say. And it's like, it really works. So I'm having my clients go get positive learnings so that it's disconnecting it from that first event, which, and then when they're coming back to their timeline, it's like popping off on all the events in between then and now.
Okay.
So then what I do when my clients come back, I'm actually in the middle of working with somebody right now with this work. And, you know, I cleared out anger. And then I'm like, before I even put her in there, I was like, put her in her timeline. I was like, can you think of something in the past that you used to be angry at, or you have anger around still, if you think about it? And she was like, yeah, a lot. And I was like, all right. So we did the technique and then I had her get her learnings and I brought her back and I'm like, okay, so now I want you to think about that event. Do you still feel angry? And she's like, no, I don't.
Like that is so awesome.
Like, no, it's gone. And then like I checked in on her over the weekend. I was like, how's it going? How are you doing? She's like, actually, normally, like all these events started happening that would just set me off and trigger me to get upset and angry. And she goes, I totally like reacted a different way. And I'm like, awesome. And I'm still in the middle of doing work with her. So we're doing like layers. So I usually start with that with my clients. And then depending on what they want to work with, I'll do NLP work. I'll do hypnosis. I may do even just regular coaching. I don't want to say regular, but kind of coaching.
Yeah.
All work together. So I just love that I get to pull out all these different tools to really give my client like an experience that's catered just to them.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
Yes. Like, and so much more.
Nice.
Okay. Now I'm like, I have so many questions. No, yeah. No, I love that. I think that's an amazing example. And it's interesting too, because even with the mentors that I've worked with and things that I've sat through in different summits and stuff like that, if you really think about it, a lot of the people that are in that same space, when they are talking to you about a scenario, they're asking you to usually do the same thing. That's just like when you do certain meditations. A lot of times, even when you're doing breath work, right, it's asking you to step outside and remember that situation or remember that age and see you as that person while you're still who you are, right? So that there is that outside view that we as humans have such a hard time seeing when it comes to ourselves, right? A lot of times we're able to see certain situations. We're like, oh, well, maybe it's because blah, 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 right? Because we're not in it, but when we're in it for yourself, it's so much harder to let go and step back, especially when there's shame, guilt, and things like that that are attached to those. It's so hard to step out of that box and see it from that perspective. So I love that the timeline therapy, just that really intrigues me that you can go back that far and really kind of pull something out to really work on it. Now, let me ask you this, because you said that you've got a client like that you're still working with.
Mm-hmm.
How long is a session typically, or is that kind of a case by case? Or if something is like really deep ingrained, does that mean like that could take like months of work? Or because I know you said that a lot of it tends to be like pretty quick, but I know that some people have deep seated, sometimes generational, right, issues.
Yes.
That I've heard of.
Yeah. And I actually, with the timeline therapy, even another level of it is I ask the question, if you were to know like the root cause, the first event, which when disconnected will cause the problem to disappear, is it before, during, or after your birth? And then sometimes people go in the womb. And then some people past life or generationally. If you're religious, I've worked with many different types of religions. So it is, you know, it's all about even being connected to source. Mm-hmm. I've worked with people that are atheists as well. So it has zero to do with religion. It's just kind of what your mind is telling you. So you disconnect. I mean, I personally have gone back like 5-10 generations in my own healing work. And then I sometimes go through past life, but it depends. It's all what the client says. But yes, I believe this work could definitely heal like generational wounds and things like that, you know, our families we passed down from. Okay, so back to your question with how long does a session take? Yeah. So if someone works with me in an 8-hour session, it's usually in the context of a certain part of your life, whether that be health, you want a health breakthrough, or you want a romantic relationship breakthrough, or a career breakthrough. So I do an 8-hour intensive, which is, I usually book them. I like to do them in 1 to 2 weeks. And then we do 4 2-hour sessions.
Okay.
And then what ends up happening too is like you're working on one part of your life and then it like trickles into other parts as well. If someone wants to do like you could call it an identity shift where you're getting like 3 to 5 breakthroughs in one, so you can even look at more areas of life. That's when I would love to do like a 3-day personal retreat, women specifically. Sorry, men. Just with women. With the 8-hour breakthrough online work, I do work with men, but my niche is women for the most part. But no, it's like rapid. It's rapid results. Like I had somebody hire me, actually both her and her husband hired me. Because she, we were, I met her up. She's in a group of my mentorship group that I'm in. And she was like, so I was explaining everything. And she goes, do you mean to tell me I could do 8 hours of work and like let go and like, and heal some things instead of doing a year worth of therapy? And I was like, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I was even like, if I can even say for myself, like I had been working with a therapist and a coach after I sold my salon, because I had help, I had some trauma happen during that, right before that time. And I was getting, you know, I was getting results and everything, and, you know, I was healing and getting better. But then right after I got the, when I was going through my NLP certification. So what I love about my certification is you're getting certified and you're also getting your own breakthrough at the same time. Cause you're doing, doing real play the whole week. And I like got out of my certification program, and then I started meeting with my therapist, and she finally was, I kept coming to her sessions and I didn't have anything to talk about anymore. And she was like, I think after two sessions, she was like, you know, we've done a lot of good work together, but I think it's time for us to move on. I'm like, who gets fired by the therapist? Hilarious. Like in a good way. Right. But like, that barely happens.
Shows a lot of integrity for your therapist, because Definitely. Think of how many would continue just because they know they're getting something instead of letting you go. So
no, it was good. And then my coach, I was working with a coach, and he was starting to bring up, okay, because he knew, I mean, he knew what my patterns were, and I had been working with people, or I had known people in my life that I was very, very triggered by. I was a hardcore people pleaser. I used to, like, it would be trigger after trigger, and I would get upset because that would be like my automatic. So he was like, okay, well, let's work on you when this person shows up in your life, so you are untriggerable. And I'm like, no, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm actually real good. No. And then I stopped working with him. He was great, by the way. But like, I was just at a different point where I just, you know what I mean? It was like, I wanted to focus on something different. So yeah, it can happen very fast. So I like to work in 8 hour sessions. If someone was coming to me to probably like, if they were going to like quit smoking, which is not necessarily my niche, but it probably would be longer. It would probably be like 10 or 12 hours for something specifically like that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But yeah, on the average, it's about 8 hours of work. And then usually I have it built in a package where I'm like, okay, so we're going to do a couple follow-up calls, like in a month, in the next month, to kind of see where my client is. But yeah, it's like rapid. It's pretty quick.
I love that. Now, have you ever noticed anyone that like went through all the stuff, was doing pretty good, but they were still in the environment that was kind of triggering those things, and they kind of regress some? Have you ever seen that? Because I know, like, right, when you're thinking about past things that we've been through, right, or things that we went through as a child, like that's one thing. But, you know, we always talk about the top five people that you hang around, right, or your environment. Yeah. And so if someone, I feel like if someone is doing work, right, and they're really trying to bust through some things, but they haven't got to the point of like changing their environment or their home situation or whatever the case may be, have you ever noticed that people kind of not regress completely, but just kind of go backwards a little bit because they haven't done the external work, I guess is the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I believe that we're like layers of an onion. Okay. I mean, it depends on how long the person's been alive. Like, I can personally say for myself, I'm going to be 50 this summer, which is wild. Aww,
you do not look 50. So
thank you. Don't feel 50 either, but it is what it is. I keep asking my friends, I'm like, are you sure you're not playing a joke on me? We're like layers of an onion. So one of the things that the unconscious mind does do, it does repress memories that in service of protecting us. Okay. So let's just say I'm working with, and I can even say for my, like I can give examples of myself all day long. So let's just say
Oh, you can totally use me too. So don't.
It's such a great question because it's like, there's a few things could happen. Like a lot of times, you know, perception is projection. And it's actually sometimes if something's triggering us about somebody else, I actually just been putting this quote out there because it's like, it's almost like a little hard. I love Bruce Lipton. If you guys, like, do you follow Bruce Lipton at all?
No, I know the name, but. Okay,
awesome. He's all about like unconscious mind and his belief system is like, suffering is optional. We can just live this like amazing life, right? And he's one of the people that says like 95% of our, you know, behaviors are, you know, from the unconscious. So I highly
following. I'm gonna look that one up.
And some of his books. And so it's like I always notice if something's triggering me about someone else, like if I'm triggered by somebody else, that is just a warning sign to me, or not necessarily maybe even a warning sign, but it's like my unconscious mind is telling me like, hey, this is the next thing that is you're ready to heal. Because we've had a lot of experiences in our life. Like I had something happen in December for myself personally. Like I happen to like have this opportunity, you know, those movies where it's like you meet your mentor, or your hero, and you're like so excited to meet them and it goes absolutely south.
Oh
yeah, that happened to me. Not that long.
Oh no.
Yeah. Anyway, but it really like, it kind of rocked my world, but at the end of the day, I was like, all right, what were really the lessons here for me? And then I did uncover that there was just one little part of me that I was like, you know, like, what was the, now I'm forgetting about what the limiting belief was. Cause it's like, I feel like it's God or going away. Like, I think it was like an, I don't matter, like limiting belief, like that got surfaced up in me. And then I was with it. I had my, you still have emotions. You still have emotions and feelings. Like no one becomes a zombie.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like you feel emotions in a healthier way. Like when I get angry or upset, it's like, okay, what happened? What did I learn? What do I need to shift? And like, what do I need to do to move things forward? So the environment, I guess it just depends, like Kat, what like extreme environment are we going to be in? Because I felt that either people have left my life completely, that were no longer serving me, or my relationships with the person have completely been reinvented. And then when you work on yourself, like all these different, like you could be with the same person. Like actually one of my colleagues says, like when you work on the perception is projection, and like, let's just say it's something that's triggering you, and then you heal and then you let it go, and then you're healing yourself. Like the person is like, it's almost like the invasion of the body snatchers happens. Like you get in a relation, get back with that person, and like, they're acting different because you're acting different. Cause sometimes people are aware of each other at times, you know? But also I think it's cool because if you see something amazing in somebody else, that also means that you have those characteristics as well. So I think there's just all these different ways we can go down this path. But it's a really great question, you know, in the sense of, I think if someone was doing this work with me and unfortunately they were in a really, really, really toxic, negative environment where there was, we're all free and clear of this, by the way, of like physical abuse or things like that, it would be very beneficial. You have to get out of that environment, you know, and then do your own healing. So I think there's different levels of it.
Yeah. And that makes sense. Sure. And I love that you say that too, because I do think that that's a piece that people need to be aware of, is especially if you're in something that's very, very toxic, where, you know, you've tried to kind of do your own thing and it just keeps reverting you back. And every time you try to go one direction, like it keeps pulling you back. I do, in my opinion, and that's based off the abuse that I've been through, it did take me getting out of that and being able to start seeing different before I did the healing. I don't think that if I would have tried to do the healing while in that environment, that it would have stuck. Yeah. For instance, right? Because you are what you hang around. And if you're constantly in that and you're only in let's say a session, an hour or two, a couple times a week, like that does great for that moment, but I could see how you'd be pulled back into what you were constantly in. Just like, you know, our children in school. And I tell my husband this all the time. I talk about this when my kids were younger. We don't realize that as parents, how little of an influence we have on our kids when they are spending 8 hours a day, 5 days a week in a classroom around teachers and their peers. And then they come home and we try to sink them down to what our rules are and the way we want things to be. And it's like, and I didn't notice that, you know, when my kids were younger, because I was in the abusive relationship. But as my kids got older, and that my youngest one now is in high school, my oldest one's graduated, but seeing the shift in them and really realizing like, wow, like what they're talking about, what they're around, the things that it's all from everyone that they surround themselves. And yet they're only with me at like dinner time. Right. Wow. And so I feel like it's the same thing with healing as well. Like if you know that healing is the direction you want to go, of hypnosis, is therapy, whatever works for you is the direction that you want to go. But every time you keep trying to go to that path, you get pulled back into the dark that you're in. You have to work on that situation as well so that you can open your environment to be able to channel in the goodness and the resolution and solving of all the things that are deep within.
Yeah. Yeah. That was beautifully said.
Thank you. But it is interesting. And it's, I love that you stated that, because, yeah, I do. And I tell people that all the time when people are like, you know, well, if I would have helped you, or I wish I would have been, I'm like, I don't think that it would have made a difference, because I had to have it in my mind to make that decision, right? To get out. Like you could have provided me a way out and everything. And I still don't necessarily think that I would have went. I had to go when I actually knew that I had figured it out, right? It was a trigger for me. For me, it was my kids. When my kids were, oh gosh, 3 and 5, 4 and 6, about that age. My ex and I were having a huge argument, which was a regular, but my kids came out to be in the middle of it. And my boys both repeated the same thing that he was saying to me. And basically we're just saying, yeah, mom, like, why are you being this way? And I don't know why that out of like everything is what like snapped me out of it. But that was like my holy shit moment. And I was like, oh my God, I'm raising my kids to be like this. Like I can put up with it, but I can't raise my kids to be like that. Which, you know, if I think back to it, I'm like, that really didn't make any sense. But it's what drug me out of it, right? And it was that small spark from my kids that put me down the right path. Which now I've been able to take those healings and those learnings and now give to them at such a young age, which has been amazing. But it really is. And I don't think that people necessarily understand that always. Like those that are already in that healing space, we know, but for those that are trying to get to that healing space, you really do have to clear what is around you. And unfortunately, that may mean being very lonely for a little while, right? Until the right people come into your life. But in turn, like it's so much better. I promise you, it's so much better to anyone listening. It's so much better to be alone and be able to work on yourself and be with your own thoughts, which I know is super scary. I didn't deal with my thoughts for 4.5 years after I left my abusive relationship. I ignored it for 4.5 years. Mm-hmm. I put myself in complete overload. I had to go see a heart doctor because I was having heart palpitations and irregular heartbeats and the whole nine yards because I was avoiding it. So anyway, off my pedestal, come back down, but
no, like that no, I mean, our thoughts are so, they can be so powerful. And that this is some of the reason why I love this work too much, because like for me, negative thoughts were always on a hamster wheel, negative ones, like, oh my gosh, you're gonna leave me there. Blah, blah, blah. You're all free and clear. Yep. Not, you know, this is just my example, but like I have a client of mine who she, business owner, and she would always, have a challenge, like hiring and attracting good people. And she would say like, I suck at hiring. So she would, it was like a door. And then She says, and I have a testimonial video about it too. So she says one of the benefits that she's gotten from this work is peace of mind. She goes, I used to not be able to stand being with my own thoughts. She goes, I would put something on to always be distracting me. Like I would be listening to, radio or whatever, or an audio book, anything, music, anything that would get her distracted from her own thoughts. And she goes, now I can be in silence. She goes, and that is priceless to me.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think for a lot of people, that is a huge struggle. And I don't even think that a lot of us consciously understand that that's what we are doing. We think that we're just busy, quote unquote, and we just need to be on the go. And I know I did the same thing for tons of years. I was a huge people pleaser. Anybody that needed absolutely anything, because it meant I didn't have to be alone with myself. I didn't have to deal with the emotions. I didn't have to deal with the thoughts, right? The only time that I did was when I went to bed, and I would take college classes at night after my kids went to sleep, so that basically I would like lay in bed and pass out. And the nights that I didn't have homework, those are the nights I cried myself to sleep, because I didn't know how to process everything, you know. And it's so true for so many people. And it's funny, because I saw a post not too long ago, and it was talking about being bored is like the ultimate release. And I was like, what does that even mean? What? We didn't mean bored. But they were it was based around that, right? Of being able to be with your thoughts and like not like restraining yourself from not even picking up a book to read, just sit there and be bored. And I actually enjoy it. So like my pastimes is going and sitting outside, and I will take my phone and put it behind me so that I won't be tempted to look at it, and just close my eyes and like listen to everything that's around me. And it's crazy, because before that would really bother me, because all the thoughts would just come rolling in, right? And it would just be like overwhelming and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like, oh, I know I need to do this. I forgot about that, right? Or I do get to a point to where it is really pretty quiet. And sometimes I do get downloads that come through, or things that I'm like, oh, I need to do this. And my husband's like, what are you talking about? I need to do this. I just thought of this and I need to do it. But it is working through that chatter and learning to be okay with it, which I think a lot of people, that is not something that's talked about on a wide spectrum, is being okay with listening to your thoughts and working through them, because eventually the chatter does slow down.
Yeah, definitely does. Sometimes I was like, this is weird. Like, it's almost like if you become your new norm, you're like, why am I not obsessing about that?
Yep. I've definitely caught myself doing that before. And I'm like, huh, well, all right. It is what it is. That's fine. But I so appreciate it. So, and Bridget, I could talk to you for hours about this NLP and the timeline therapy. Like this, there's so much knowledge in this. And so much that I feel like people could really learn and grow from. And I love the way that you break it down and explain it. Like it's, to me, it's just, it's so simplified and it makes so much sense, you know, and I needed that in the beginning. So I appreciate you so much for being a part of the podcast today. So before you go, I always ask one question, and that is, do you happen to have a quote or a piece of positivity or advice you would like to leave the audience with?
What do I want? I love Wayne Dyer. And I love, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change.
Oh, I love that one. I love that one.
I love that one. And I teach that to my students too, because it's reframing the way you're thinking. That's one of the things to do. Like, how are we going to change this negative into a positive? Oh, this would be one tool I would love to share with your
Yes.
Life. Like so many times, okay, it's like even focus on what you want. And I know it sounds very easy to do. However, most people have a tendency to focus on the things that they don't want. Mm-hmm. And what happens is you're attracting that stuff. So the unconscious mind does not process a negative directly. So if I say, don't think about your nose, don't think about a purple pig, don't think about a blue tree. Like, how many of you thought about those three things, or at least one of them? Okay. Mm-hmm. So Focus on what you want. So then your unconscious mind will support you on going after that. It's even like, have you ever worn white clothes and you were doing everything in your power not to spill something on it and you spilled something on it right away?
Yes.
Consider when you're going out for the person, if you're dating and you want to think about that guy of your dreams, focus on the guy, the qualities and characteristics of the things you want. Table that stuff you don't want. Mm-hmm. If you think about the things you don't want, guess what? You're going to keep attracting the guy you don't want.
Yeah.
That was a good thing. So focus on what you want. That's my quote. And life's short. It's all like live a life by design. And
power. Yeah. Definitely. Well, Bridget, please tell us, where can everybody connect with you? How can they get in touch with you, especially if they want to work with you? How can they get in your world?
Yeah. So my website is Power and Joy Coaching Academy. I have a free guide. Well, I gave you the link to my free guide as well. The three biggest blocks to your coaching and consulting exponential growth. And that even gives more detail on the modalities of NLP, timeline therapy, and hypnosis. And then
okay.
My email address is Bridget, BRIGETTE @ Bridget Sobus, SOBUS.com. And I'm sure my phone number is out there. I'm, but just tell me where you came from. Just tell me, hi, I heard you on Kat's awesome podcast.
Yes.
If you say something weird, like, can you meet for coffee tomorrow? And you don't tell me who you are, I won't reply. Do you get those weird text messages out of nowhere?
I do get those weird text messages sometimes. I'm like, I'm sorry, who are you?
Sorry. Just tell me where you're from. And yes, I, do complimentary strategy sessions and all the things. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn as well. So lots of different modalities on how to reach me and find me.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Bridget, again, for being a part of the podcast. To everybody else out there, I hope you guys got some amazing takeaways. I hope you were taking notes and be sure to reach out to Bridget and connect and be in her world. And until next time, don't forget, do one thing positive for somebody each and every day and see the difference that it makes in your life. So until next time, have a fantastic day.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you absolutely loved what you heard, please be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review so we can keep the good stuff rolling. Got something you'd love to hear us discuss? Then be sure to message me on social media and let's work together to spread even more amazing content. And if you haven't yet connected with me on social media, be sure to follow along at Agent Services Plus. I'm so excited to connect with you on the next episode, and until next time, be sure to find things that help you learn, grow, and be inspired.